Welcome to the fourth and final sermon in our sermon series entitled Playlist. This sermon series teaches how songs can help us connect to the reality of God and inspire us to live the Christian life. Today's sermon title, Songs of Christ. Open your Bible to Revelation 4, verses 8 through 11, and let's begin.
Would you bow your heads with me? Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord, for this time to be together. God, thank you for this time to just get a new perspective in life, Lord. Help us to lift our eyes above the weeds of what's going on and our problems and our fears and our struggles. And God, help us just in these next moments to look higher. And Father, to connect with who you are, with your glory, with your power, with your goodness, with your love. And Father, help us to see the bigger picture that we get to look forward to and we get to find hope from. And we ask your help in this. In Jesus' good name, amen. Well, church, I got to just give you a quick update, announcement before I get into the message today. Last week, I told you that we've been working on buying that land over on Chestnut and Archer. And one of the key pieces for this to work out is we need North Ridgeville to allow us to connect to their sewer. And so this issue is going before City Council October 29th. And we want the city to know that people want this and people care about it. And so I need you, church, to come to that meeting. I'll bring you some donuts, rub your tummy, whatever. That's weird. But, you know, we need you there because we want to just fill that place and show them that, hey, this is an issue that people care about. So that's not this Monday, but the next Monday at 7 p.m. And then also, I need you this week to call the mayor's office and to just say, hey, I support Christ Church coming into North Ridgeville and I support them getting that sewer connection. I think that would be a great addition to the community. So you just say something like that, but just give them a call. Again, we just want to raise their awareness that people care about this issue. Don't be mean and nasty, but just say, hey, we support it. We think it would be great. That number's in your bulletin, and we just want to flood them with calls and flood them with people because we want them to see this matters and this is important. And you know what? We're such cool people. Why would they not want us there, right? I mean, that's the real mystery of this all. So church, are you good for that? Can I count on you for that? All right, three of you, thank you. How about the rest of you? Can I get a hearty amen on this? All right, church. This is really important. So I need you to do these two things. Need you to be there. Need you to make those calls. This is the first step of us having this great future with God. With me on that? All right. Well, today we are finishing our playlist sermon series. And we're going to wrap it up. And next week we're starting a new sermon series called More Than. And I think you're really going to enjoy that. But as we're wrapping up this week, haven't you noticed that so much of life is about perspective? And so many times the arguments that we have, the frustrations that maybe we have with other people, if you really boil them down, they just boil down to a perspective difference. Many times at home, Allie and I, we have different perspectives on cleaning standards. Little different perspectives, because when I think about it, when I look at it, I think, man, I'm doing really good, because my perspective is what it was like when I was a bachelor and had my own apartment and had roommates that were rats and mice and raccoons, and I think, babe, I'm doing so much better. Like, you should cheerlead me and be really happy. Her perspective, believe it or not, church, is a little different. She's got very high cleaning standards. And she's got eagle eye vision. Any misplaced crumb on the floor, she finds it. And so sometimes we argue about these different perspectives. And then soon I find my perspective is wrong. And we move on. But it's a lot about perspective, isn't it? And haven't you noticed at times when sometimes if you're able to shift your perspective, then what you're experiencing feels so different. I read a book recently, and the author talked about how just changing our language about things. Instead of saying, I have to do something, he said, try, I get to do something. And if you start doing that for a while, you know, I have to do this thing for work. You say, I get to. I have to go to church. I get to go to church. It begins to give you a little bit different look on everything in your life. And it's healthy, I think. It's a perspective change. I recently went through a little hike through the metro parks, and I was trying to find this awesome waterfall when I was a kid. And I couldn't remember exactly where it was. And by awesome waterfall, it was like a rusty pipe coming out of the side of a hill. But when you're a kid, it's like Niagara Falls, you know? And so I was trying to find that, and I did eventually find it. And many of you know that God has gifted me with an incredible sense of direction. And I always know where I'm at and always know how to get. That's a lie if you're not tracking on that. But I was looking for it and I found it, but then I couldn't really find how to get back. That's where I got caught up. And I was at sort of the lower level, the bottom of the valley. And so I just kept trying to climb because it was, you know, these sort of big cliffs. And I just kept trying to get higher up so I could get my bearings. Don't judge me right now. I see your faces, okay? And I just kept trying to get a higher perspective so I could figure out where to go, because it's so many times in life, it's a matter of perspective. And some of the problems that we're facing, they're actually perspective problems. Not all of them, but many of them is really, if there becomes a change in our perspective, what we're struggling with will look totally different. And today we're going to look at a time where God gives this man named John, he gives them a radically different perspective. And it's a perspective meant to help him with what he is struggling with and what he is living in the moment. And as we look at this perspective, I hope it's a perspective that we can begin to grab hold of in our lives, because I think it's going to be tremendously helpful to us. So here's what we're going to look at today. We're going to look at Revelation chapter 4, starting at verse 8. And that's page 1030 in your scriptures. And I'm going to warn you up front, Revelation is a very hard book to read and to understand. And anybody who thinks they totally understand that book, don't trust them. It's very hard. There's so much imagery. It's written in a very weird way because the author, instead of teaching kind of using points, he teaches with imagery and ideas. So it's going to feel a little bit weird, but if you stick with it and you just keep trying to see the bigger picture, I think you're going to be amazed at how powerful this text is. So here it is, Revelation chapter 4, verse 8. And here's how it starts. And the four living creatures, and you can read about their description more in the preceding verses. Each of them with six wings, see, I told you it's a little weird, are full of eyes all around and within, and day and night they never cease to say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." And here's what this scene is the perspective that John has is not his perspective from his house. It's not his perspective from his neighborhood or city, but in this moment, God has sort of opened up the curtains and he said, "Hey, John, I want you to look in and see what's happening where I am, where I'm hanging out. I want you to get the perspective from where I'm at." And so that's what we're looking at. That's the perspective. So day and night, they never cease. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And whenever the living creatures give glory, which remember they do this day and night. So this is happening a lot. Whenever they do that and they give thanks to him who's seated on the throne, that's God who lives forever and ever. The 24 elders, so these are some other, you know, high ranking people around God that get to hang out there. Whenever they hear that, they get off their thrones, they worship him who lives forever and ever. They fall down before him. And they cast their crowns before his throne, saying, "Worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created. And this is the scene that John sees. And you can see it goes on for a little bit more, but I just want to stop there. Because I think what God is doing here is he is giving him a totally different and a new perspective. And I want to talk about three aspects of it. I want to talk about why we need that. Why we need at times to see a bigger picture than just what's going on in our life. We need to see God on his throne. We need to be able to see that in our hearts and hold on to that reality. Then I'm going to talk about what that does to us. What I think it did to John and what it can do to us. And then how we respond to that. So that's it. So we're going to go through why, the what, and the how. Let's talk about the why first. Why do we need new perspectives? Why do we need a higher perspective like the one that John has here? And the simple reason is, number one, that new perspectives create new responses in our lives. Have you ever met someone and they're a little bit difficult to be around and they got on your nerves a little bit? I know you're such patient people, but there's got to be one person that fits this category. And they just kind of rub you the wrong way. But then, and don't be pointing at me, church, from your seats, okay? Or your spouse. You could get in big trouble for that. But then you hear their story. You hear what they went through. You hear how life was like for them. And then as soon as you get that perspective, you're 10 times more patient with them, right? Because it's created in you a new response. And that's why, again, we need these new perspectives, because they create in us a new response. And this is why it was so important for John, because at this time, John was living in a period where Christians were being persecuted. We don't know which time, decade exactly. It was in the first century. It could be the 60s or the 90s. People debate back and forth. But either way, everyone agrees that during this time, Christians were being targeted by the government. And they were being harassed. They were being arrested. And some were even being killed. It was a tough time to be a follower of Jesus. And it looked like maybe the movement of Jesus was going to die out. It was going to be put down by the government. And even John, he had been a victim of this. He had been exiled by the Roman emperor. And he was living in this isolated place. So things around him, they were stressful. They looked terrible. It looked like God was losing. It looked like all God's followers, they were just getting their butts kicked. And it didn't look like there was a lot of hope. And so what does God do here to John? He says, John, I know your perspective, and I know what you're seeing, and I know what you're experiencing, and I know what that's making you feel, but John, I want to give you a new perspective. I want to give you a different perspective. And he takes him and he shows him what's happening behind the scenes. And think about this. What is happening behind the scenes? Just look at the text again and think about John's perspective in this moment. He's seeing followers of Christ struggling, being targeted. But then he goes and he sees this scene, this incredible scene. God is on his throne. People are excited that God is on his throne. And they're just worshiping him perpetually. And that's a very different perspective than what John was experiencing, right? If you were John, you might kind of believe that you're going to see the curtains pulled back and you're going to see God just kind of biting his fingernails. And how am I going to figure this out? These Romans are real hard people to work with. I'm sick of them. I'm sick of them getting my best people. They got John. They got Paul. They got Peter. I don't know if I can find anyone. But there's no sense of panic in this scene, is there? There's no sense of God being out of control, is there? There's no sense of worry about who has power and authority and glory. In fact, it's the exact opposite. It's a scene where you see the majesty of God in a powerful way. And it would be a stark contrast to what John was seeing in his everyday life. You with me on this, church? It's a radically different perspective. He sees a God who is holy, who is, that means he's set apart, he's morally perfect, he's unique, he's so much different than any person or being we've ever experienced. And he's one who existed long before everything and will exist long after everything. And all these creatures who kind of represent all of creation, all the different aspects of creation, they are just responding to him in absolute submission and worship. It's a much different scene, a much different perspective than what he was seeing in his own life. And so let me talk about how this would have affected him, and I think how this affects us. The first thing I think it would have done and does as we look at it is it helps to give us a winning mindset about the work of God. God's seated on the throne. God's not worried. God's in control. God is all powerful. All glory and power are his. And so what does that mean for John? It means, John, even if it looks like the emperor is winning, and even if it looks like he has all the cards and all the power, John, I want to show you a different perspective. God has a purpose in what's happening, but don't think he doesn't have it all figured out. Don't think for a second that anything that's happening is outside of his power or his control. And John, I just want to let you in on a secret. He's going to win at the end. He's going to win. No matter what it looks like, he's going to win. And friends, the same thing is true in our life. Whatever our perspective is, whatever's happening right now, sometimes we need to just break free from that and remember that God has it figured out. God's going to fulfill his purpose. No one is going to take him off that throne, and he's going to accomplish what he wants to do. Here's the second thing, is I think seeing this scene, it would make John and maybe make us think about our priorities differently. Remember these elders, every time that phrase, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, every time that's said, they fall down and worship. And when you think about that, that's like doing burpees all day long. Fall down, worship, you get back, you pick up your crown, you get back, you sit down, fall down, worship. That's a workout. And that's kind of, that's a high commitment to giving God thanks, isn't it? But these are people who see the world and everything from a different perspective. And what they're saying God is worthy of that. That said, we're organizing our eternal lives around thanking this incredible God who sits on the throne. And I thought, if I were John, and just as I read that, it makes you think differently about what's really important in life, doesn't it? I mean, isn't it so easy to just cut out of our lives time to connect with God, time to thank God, time to grow in our relationship with God? See, and from our perspective in this world, that doesn't seem pressing or urgent, right? What feels pressing and urgent is getting to work, doing the stuff around the house, paying bills, doing all the things that we have to do, and those are certainly important. But this perspective shows us they're not nearly as important as our relationship with God. And so maybe at times we need to step back, we need to get a bigger perspective on what is really important. Let's talk about the third part, surrender. Notice these 24 elders, what do? They take their crown and they throw it before his throne. And what is that an act of? It's an act where we say, God, everything I have is yours. That's what a crown represents, doesn't it? It represents kingdom. It represents power. It represents sort of you have authority and dominion over a certain people or a certain area. And these elders, what do? They take that crown they fall down before the Lord and they cast it through to his throne. And they're saying, everything we have is yours. Everything we have is from you. Everything we have is for you. And I think one of the best responses we can have to God is kind of to do that same thing in our own hearts and minds. Is to remind ourselves, no, everything gets cast before his throne. I live for him. I live to serve him. All the good things in my life, I can't ultimately take credit for. They're really from the one who was, who is, and is to come. And so they all go back to him, all of it. And that surrender creates a different reality in our lives. And sometimes our biggest struggles in life is we are trying to control things that are in God's control. We're trying to take hold of things that God has to hold in his hand, and we just have to surrender it to him. And this perspective helps us to see that. And then let's talk about this, humility. And in this scene is all about God, isn't it? I mean, we don't know. People try to guess who these 24 elders are. I think it was an old football team from that. No one knows. Old Browns team, I don't know. But because they're not really what's important in this scene, right? What's important is the one who sits on the throne. And they realize that they live for him. He doesn't live for them. And humility is that willingness to say, man, my life, it is about God ultimately. It's about God's purpose, God's agenda, God's work, and not my own, not my ego, not my selfishness. I've got to give that up so I can begin to pursue the things that matter eternally. And here's what I believe about you and me. This is bad news, but I think you need to hear it, that there is way more selfishness in us than we realize. Our selfish drive, it's way bigger than we ever want to admit or ever want to deal with. But you know, one of the ways we deal with it is we get reminded of what is ultimately important. And more than that, who is ultimately important? And that's the one who sits on the throne. Now let me talk about one more scene in this. This is chapter 5. It's just a little bit later. And in this scene, this whole worship thing is going on. But then heaven says, hey, there's this scroll that needs opened. Scroll, it's got some passwords to a computer video game. No, I'm just kidding. It's a really important scroll and it needs open. And they look around and they try to find someone to open it, but they can't find anyone. But then someone says, no, there is someone. There is someone. It's the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. And you think, cool. There's going to be a sweet lion coming. Because I think lions are really cool. You don't. That's all right. I think they are. And you're expecting this powerful lion to come. But instead, what shows up is a lamb. But it's not a healthy lamb. It's a lamb that has been slain. And who is that? It is a picture of Jesus Christ there. And he's the one that is able to open the scroll. So then he opens it, and this is what happens. I think this scene is so cool. He opens it, and the whole place goes insane. You thought they were fired up before. They drink energy drinks, and they take it to the next level. They get some NOS and Rip It and Monsters in their system, and look what happens. All these creatures, the elders, the voice of many angels, myriads of myriads. That just means too many to count. Boatloads and boatloads, thousands of thousands. They say with a loud voice, with passion and energy in their hearts, worthy is the Lamb. Because he opened the scroll. He did this work that no one could do. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. And we would say more, but we ran out of words. So we'll just keep it at those things. But everything else that you can give him, he's worthy of that. And to me, this would create, and I think this should create in me and in John and in us, a passion for God. This to me is a picture of people who see something of the uniqueness and the majesty and the powerful work of God, and they respond with a heart that has been moved. When I understand who Jesus Christ is, and I see that this great God who sits on the throne in glory and power and honor, who is holy and perfect and good, when I see that God is committed to me and loves me and is for me and will help me, not because of me, but because of the Lamb who was slain, it moves something in my heart. It moves something in me that says, man, I want to be in a better relationship with this God. And this is what makes Christianity so unique. Yes, you have this picture of God who is set apart, who is big, who is powerful, but then you also see God who came down and gave his life and comes not as a lion, but as a lamb who was slain and says, I'm going to meet you where you're at and I'm gonna bring you up to me through my death and my sacrifice. I'm not only a God who is glorious and powerful, but I'm a God who will sacrifice and die for you, even though you don't deserve it. I think that creates passion. And I think that's important. So what do we do with all this? Well, let me give you just a thought about it. What I think we need to do with this is we need to realize where our perspective is in life. And we need to grab hold of this perspective, this scene. And we need it to allow it to shape us differently. When I begin to get overwhelmed with what's going on in life, with what's going on in the world, when I get to be discouraged and frustrated at what's happening around me, I need to take a step back and I need to get a higher perspective. And I need to remember, no matter what's going on, he's still on the throne. No one stole it. No one took it away. No one can contest it. He's still got a firm grip on everything that's happening. And he's going to work it for my good. And he's going to work it for your good. And I need to grab hold of that perspective until it begins to create a different response in me, a winning mindset. I need at times to step back and allow my priorities to be reordered and say, what really matters? Let me remember this scene. What really matters? Man, these guys, they're spending all day long, burpees, up, back, down, throwing stuff around. And why are they doing it? Because they see worship and thanks to God as the priority of their life. And if that's where everything is going, if that's the essence of everything that matters, then maybe my priorities should more reflect theirs. You with me on this, church? And I got to grab hold of that perspective, and I have to see it. Surrender. I got to realize everything I have is God's, and everything goes back to him. I'm just entrusted with it, but it's for his purpose. It all goes before his throne, not my own. Humility. It's not about me. It's not about my ego. It's about the God who created me. And it's about knowing him. It's about growing in him. It's about serving him. And it's about passion. It's about having something in my heart that is grateful, that can be moved by what this incredible God did for me. And if you notice, this almost spells worship. Missing a couple vowels. And listen, church, you need to respect that because I worked really hard to make those words work. Okay, I went over it like 50 times. And a W is hard to work with. A W is very hard to work with. Thanks. All right, there we go. That's what I'm talking about now. Now let's talk about humility again. Back to that. No. This is what worship is, though, church. This is what worship is. It's not music. It's not. It's when these responses happen in our life because we recognize who God is. That's what worship is. It's me acknowledging who God is. It's me recognizing who God is. And because I acknowledge it, because I recognize who he is, then these things happen in me. Worship, it's about that saying, man, I have hope because he rules. He reigns. He's good. He's powerful. Nothing can stop his purpose. If God is for me, no one can be against me. And so I'm going to move forward a little bit less afraid. This is worship. And so my challenge to you as we finish this series today, my challenge to you is, you know, every week we've given you these scripture verses. And those are meant so that you can take breaks in your day and in your week. And you can think about God. You can think about who he is. You can think about what he's done and what he's doing, and you can think about it and let it move into your heart until worship at some level begins to happen, until your fears begin to weaken, until your priorities begin to change, until you see yourself surrendering more to his purpose for your life and not your own, when you see humility growing in your heart and passion for him growing in your life. Use those to give you a new perspective. Take time, spend a little bit of time every day this week. Just take out the note card, think about this perspective, and think about it until you see some of this happening. Because remember, at the end of the day, when we step away from our current perspective and we stop fixating on what we're upset about, we stop fixating on what's wrong in our lives, we stop fixating on all the problems that we have, and we begin instead to worship, it creates a new perspective and a new response in us. Everything looks different, and we respond to everything different. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that this scene is what we get to look forward to. We thank you, Lord, that this scene that we see is what we can find hope in now, Lord. When life is chaotic and painful and difficult and tedious and maybe doesn't always feel like it's going where we want it to go. Father, I pray that this vision that you gave John could be a vision that we can hold on to at some level, that it could resonate in our hearts, it could hold in our minds. And Father, I pray it could begin to shift in us a different response, a response of worship. And I pray, Father, as we engage in that, that we would begin to live differently and we would be changed from the inside out. Father, bless us in this. Teach us your way. In Jesus' good name, amen.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information about Christ Church, check us out on the web at christchurchohio.org. If we can be of any help to you, call us at 440-236-8282. Until next time, blessings to you.